to mention that in general, what I say will be Hashem, the Rosh Hashifa, Shlita, Rav Feinstein, Makaba Kol Dodi, unless I say otherwise. Parshas Bereishis. Those who have eyes will see and understand that we have the answers. Big Bang, Schmig Bang, all the theories, science and everything. We have the answer right in front of us. When we see the universe, we see everything that was created. We understand that there had to be a maker. As Avraham Avinu says in the Medrash, if there's a world, there had to be a builder. There had to have been a creator. And that's what the Torah tells us. Bereishis bara Elokim mitzvah shemayim v'soretz. Tzadik b'emunoso yichya. The foundation of emunah. And among the many things one can say, don't forget, as the Goyim even say, the mother of all religions. No other religion, for instance, has a claim that millions of people saw the events of Har Sinai. As it says in the Pasuk in Parshas Va'eschanan, in Perek Dalet, Hashama Om Kol Elokim Medaber Mitoch Eish Kasher Shemato Atav Ayechi. You all saw the whole people. No other religion has that claim. They wouldn't dare claim it. It's not true. They have false prophets that claim things, but not millions of people. And we have, for instance, what I mentioned before about the Big Bang. You have it in Bereishis Rabba. It's nothing new. Ein kol chodesh tachas hashamesh. And different forms of the same thing. Look at over there, the philosopher who asked Rabbi Gamliel a similar question. And that's what the Torah is telling us here. Bereishis bara Elokim. Hashem is the creator of Bereishis, the creator of the beginning. He himself has no beginning, but he created the beginning. He created the universe as we know it now. And that's why, as Rosh Hashiva Shlita says, bara can be turned around, the letters, and it says ba'ir. It is clear, making it clear, explaining it clearly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of everything. He himself has no beginning and no end. But he created beginnings as we know it and ends as we know it. And the Pasuk says further, V'ha'aretz ha'yesasohu v'vohu v'choshech al pnei yisrael. And as Rashi explains, what's pshat in tohu? There was wonderment. Tohu, lashon of wonder at the emptiness that was there. So Rav Moshe Zatzal, Darash Moshe, asks, Chayra, what is the point of telling us before creation that there was wonderment at the emptiness that was there? There is more wonderment in the greatness of creation. Why is the Torah teaching us by telling us something that we weren't even witness to? And he explains beautifully. What the Torah is showing us is to learn from that, that any potential that a person has to serve Hashem and he doesn't use that potential, it is wonderment, it is unexplainable at the complete waste, emptiness that results from such a thing. That is also the point of before creation also, when there is emptiness. Hashem, as we see, can create such unbelievable things, unlimited, infinite. And when there wasn't this, it was a wonder. Of course, there was a reason for it, but because Baruch is perfect. But it's for us to learn that lesson, to use the potential that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us for the greatest good, to serve Him. And along the same lines, the Shiva Shlita gives a pshat in Kol Dodi on the day, which was the fourth day, when the Maoros was created, as we see in Pasuk Tes Vav, and Rashi brings down that Maoros is written Chaser, without the Vav. And he gives a pshat, and Rosh Hashiva Shlita gives another pshat, Ayin Panim Latorah, as we know, Eilo Velo Divei Elokim Chayim, and he explains that we know that the Torah is compared to a light. Maor is light. And the absence of Torah is like a Me'ira, a curse. Along the same lines of what we just said before, when the person has that potential, the wisdom of Torah, that he can accomplish and bring the greatest good imaginable into the world, to do the will of Hashem, then it can be the greatest light. But when he doesn't use it, it can be the greatest curse. As the Pasuk says, Sadikim Yerchubam Uposhim Yikashubam. It also says that Hashem separated the waters above and below. But as we know, and as Rashi brings down, the job wasn't finished until the third day. That was the second day, the separation of the waters. On the third day, Hashem completed that job, so to speak. What did he do? He separated the dry land and the waters before the waters completely covered the whole earth, and he separated them. That's why we know Yom Shlishi, Simin Tov, and it's a double Kitov because of that. But one has to still ask, why was it done? Why was it split into two separate days, not completed in one day? And Rosh Hashiva Shlita in Kol Dodi explains beautifully that the reason is for us to learn a great lesson of a Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, which is so important. Hashem divided the waters, and as we know from Chazal, the one water that had to go below was hurt. He wanted to go above, Shamayim, closer to Hashem. So when he was told to go below, Hashem taught us a great lesson in human relations. If one must do something to, so to speak, hurt another person, we have to try our best not to. But if the situation calls for us to do something which must be done and there has to be hurt feelings, even then we have to do our best to try to make it as less hurt as possible. And therefore, many times we have, so to speak, a cooling off period. That's what Hashem is teaching us here. There had to be that separation. And a further separation, so to speak, on the third day, when it had to be separated from the dry land. But not to, so to speak, place a tsar upon a tsar. You give the person a chance to cool off, to understand this is what the best thing that has to be done, and therefore he'll be able to accept it more readily. And that's a very important thing to remember in all human relations. As we know, of course, to try always to avoid any tsar causing one another. But even if it's done, I'll be telling you that sometimes chas v'shalom, there has to be a tsar. It has to be done with the least tsar possible. Taharah, to try to think of a way. If you can't get out of causing any tsar, at least try to make it as minimal as possible. And we see this inyan also again on the fourth day. As we know from Chazal, the Maoros were originally equal. And afterwards, the moon approaching Hashem and saying, you can't have two kings. So he said, correct. So you will be lessened. So it had to be done. But one must, again, not feel good about it. That negative thing had to be done, and that Shem goes as so far to teach us this point that we know by Rosh Chodesh Chazal Darshan, when it says Usiri Zimechol Chatos Hashem Al Olas Tamid Yosef Niskov, the pasuk, it says Lashem Chatos Lashem they Darshan, that Hashem, so to speak, is saying to us to teach us that lesson. The Chatos is for me. It's it, Rosh Chodesh, the new moon, that I had to lessen the status of the moon, not to be happy about it. Would have been nicer, so to speak, if we could have avoided such a situation. And again, to teach us that, no matter who it is, a Dayan, and the truth is we're all Dayanim. In many respects, we judge one another, whether it's family, friends, people we meet. It's the same thing. And we have to learn this lesson. That if something has to be done again in a negative way, not to be glad about getting a Yasher Koach for it. Tsar comes out from it. But we have to examine ourselves and think, how can we avoid such things in the future? Of course, we're saying that even if we had the right decision, now we had to do it like that. Sometimes you can even think, but but Hashem is teaching us here again how far one has to go to form and make shalom in the whole world. And then it says on the sixth day after Hashem created man, Vayal kemetz kol asher osa v'ini tov ma'od v'yireh v'yivoke yom ha-shishi tov ma'od v'sheshiva shlita d'ashen beautifully. What's the ma'od? The ma'od now is the fact, it's not only tov but ma'od, because the whole purpose of creation, the human being who who has the potential being greater than the Malachim, if he fulfills the Torah and Hashem's will, as it, he gave us in the Torah to teach us. That is why it's ma'od, very good. That is the greatest goodness. And that's why ma'od, if we take those letters, we turn them around, becomes adon, to show us that. And that's why it goes together. The whole purpose of creation is adon. But without the Torah, and that's the Hashishi, the Rashi darshins also, the sixth day of Sivan, when the Torah was given. Because without the Torah, the human being is an animal. Even worse than an animal. Because he has the potential to do good and he doesn't. It's only the Torah that teaches him how to fulfill Hashem's will. And the same reasoning and truth applies to the Torah itself. Without the human being, the Torah has no purpose. But when they're both together, fulfilling Hashem's will, that is the Tov Ma'od of all creation. And it says in Pasuk Zion, and Rashi points out, what's the point of the Nefesh Chaya? The behemoths and chayes are also called Nefesh Chaya. And Rosh Hashiva gives another pshat in this point, and he says that what the Pasuk is telling us is the fact that the man, the human being, has a neshama. That's what gives him a right to be a nefesh chaya, meaning to get his nourishment, to get his needs from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's only the use of the neshama, the ikir, his true life. That's why it's called Nishmas Chayim, the true life of the person, when he fulfills the neshama according to the Ratzon Hashem, that is when he deserves to be a Nefesh Chaya, the guf, to live. An animal, he has no choice. He gets fed by Kodesh Baruch Hu no matter what. It's the human being that has its free will to do good, to do bad. It's up to him. He, so to speak, presses the button in that aspect. Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. To be a tzaddik or rosh is up to us. And then, pasuk yud zayin here, when Hashem tells Adam HaRishon that he says that if you eat from the Eitz HaDaas on that day, most tamus. So it's asked for many, as we know, did not die immediately. So the Sheshiva gives pshat in the Russian of most tamus to fit very well to answer that question. Pshat is that when he ate most, the death process already then began. Before he would have lived forever, but now most, the death process is beginning. He starts to, so to speak, deteriorate till eventually the tamus, when he dies and goes back the guf, to the yofa, and in the neshama, to Hashem, and then the next pasuk says, that Hashem said, "Es Elo Ezer Kenegdo, I will make a help for him." And the Rosh Hashiva Shlita gives a beautiful pshat. We know, as Rashi brings down from Chazal, what's pshat is like a stira. Ezer, a help. Kenegdo is like against him. Which one is it? Ezer or Kenegdo? So, pshat that Rashi brings is that if he's Zeicha, she will be an Ezer. If not, Chas V'Shalom, Kenegdo. Rosh Hashiva says, you can also put them both together. No stira. That it's an Ezer Kenegdo. The ideal is not to be a yes man or a yes woman. The true Eishes Chayel, if she feels that her husband needs some musa, doing it of course the right way always, as all things we should do the right way, and tells it to him and shows him the other side in order to bet him, that is a true Ezer. Not just saying yes to no matter what he does, even if Chas V'Shalom is wrong. And that's the point also of Ezer, because when we think of it, of course the true Eishes Chayel helps in all things in Ezer. But when we think about what does a woman give us that otherwise we can't do, we could cook also if we had to, mentorship. Or do our own laundry if we had to. But as we all know, to have children we cannot do on our own. And that's why the letters of Ezer form also Zera. The last pasuk in Perek Gimel mentions that when Hashem told Adam to go out of Gan Eden, he placed the kruvin and alat hacherav amisapeches to guard the entrance of the Eitz Hachayim. L'chor we can ask, once you have the kruvim, as Rashi explains on the Malachi Chabalah, but why do you need any sword? Why is there any sword? I'm a sapeches. The kruvim alone can do the job. A pshat that Rosh Hashiva Shlita gives is that the lana cherem of sapeches, as Rashi says, lahat, it had a, so to speak, flame, a brightness. So you could say that even if someone comes across the entrance to Gan Eden, there will be a mirage, so to speak. He will hallucinate and see something else that will prevent him from entering this path. And at the end of the parasha speaks about Noach, the birth of Noach. And as we see when it speaks about the genealogy, it always mentions the Lashon Bayoled gave birth to the name of the son. And by Noach it says Bain, and as it explained, because Bain comes from Binyan, he would be the one to rebuild the world. And the truth is, even before the Mabel, as it's explained in the Psukim, that he made implements to plow the land, and that also was a building of the world before the Mabel also. And the last pasuk in the Sedra says, "Vanoach matzachin b'nei Hashem." As the Gemara explains that originally Noach was also included in the Gezeira, but the fact was that Noach, more than anyone that was left at the time of the Mabel, was the one that was found chen. And the Moshe Zatzal and the Rash Moshe explains what is this chen, which is an important thing to learn and to take note of, because don't forget, this made it that he was excluded from the Gezeira. And Rashiv explains that pshat and chen is, that is, he found favor in the eyes of Hashem, because when he did a mitzvah, it wasn't by rote, as the Navi tells us, Musa, not to just do it like habit in a negative way, without feeling chatzishon. But Noach did it with simcha. When he did a mitzvah, he did it with simcha. He knew it was the most beautiful thing in the world to fulfill the will of Hashem, and he did it. As we know from the Tochacha, Gaval de Gazach, that were all the Tochacha and the clothes that were given. And what is the point that Hashem makes when the reason is given for this? It says, "Tachat Hashem Avatos Hashem Lakecha b'Simcha b'Tuv Leivav Mirav Kol." Can you imagine that? The Chasaron was looked at because it wasn't done b'Simcha. When we do a mitzvah and we think of it, Chas V'Shalom, as Rebbe Zmir, famous story with Rosh Shiva Zatzal, that mentioned at a convention, one of the times he did, that it was one of the most worst things, to use the Lashon of Shver to Zayin Ayid. It's not a good expression, it's not a good way of thinking, because it's just the opposite. One should understand that it's the most beautiful thing to be a Yid. The mitzvahs weren't giving us to shver. The mitzvahs were giving us to be zelcha to eternal life, to eternal simcha. If you had all the diamonds in the world, so to speak, were unlimited, you can imagine the big simcha you would have. That's the way we have to understand and reach the mandrega and understand the truth, that that's the Torah. The Torah is the greatest simcha. The mitzvahs that Hashem gave us in everything, when we know it's for the best good that exists, the best benefit for all of us, when we understand that truth and everything, it will of course be done and felt with the greatest ava and simcha. And that's what Noach found in the eyes of Hashem, the tzchein, because of that. Because when he did the mitzvahs, that's the way he did it. He understood this and followed accordingly. And that, so to speak, the midah kenegad midah, the chein comes from chinam. That even though originally he was included in the Gezeira, each one according to their madrega, what's expected of them. But because of this, so to speak, step beyond, Hashem also dealt with him a step beyond. And that's in Yetz Hashem we should all be zoichetu, the Gantzavel, to do the Ritzon Hashem b'shlimus, with the greatest simcha and understanding and ava, tamid, miyatah v'yad olam.